Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Doug hates candy wrapper screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording Thursday afternoon, June 29th, 2023, Kingsman, The Golden Circle of Friends with Benefits, A Wonderful Life as We Know It. And my guests today are Alex Hooper, Amy Miller, and Greg Warren. Hello.
Yay!
Hey. Let's meet everyone individually and alphabetically. I always like to say at this point by first name, but you're still in the same order, whether it's by first or last name. Doesn't change a thing. So let's just go think of it either way. And let's start with Alex Hooper. Hello, Alex.
Hi, I'd like to think I would have been first anyway.
Well, you know, there's lots of societal rules that, apply. One might say, Amy's been on the show more times, say her name first. Greg Warren's first time on the show, maybe. So he should say, there's so many ways to go with it, Alex.
Well, so
with
either
a name
way.
Like Alex, you, and then Hooper, you nailed it today. You're first. You've won by virtually doing nothing.
I mean, I'm happy to be here. What an honor.
Yeah. I was going to open with congrats on being alive. I like to, say that.
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much. It was quite a tumultuous 12 months for me, but yeah. Here I am, sillier than ever.
Yeah. You're out there making everybody laugh. You sad clown, you.
That's me, Pagliacci in the flesh.
You can actually see Alex and my next guest and myself all together at the Levity Live in Oxnard, California on Thursday, July 27th. And that next guest is, of course, Amy Miller. Hey, Amy.
Hello, everybody. Congrats on being alive.
That's, back at you. We're doing it.
Thank you.
Us and Liza Minnelli, we're out living lots of things. Have you seen that Twitter account?
No.
There's a Twitter account that just posts every time something dies. It just reminds everybody that Liza Minnelli outlived it.
Oh, that seems rude.
to which?
To everybody.
Yeah, it is rude all around, but at least part of that equation is people who are dead. I don't know how much the dead follow Twitter accounts, you know what I mean? joining us for the first time after too long a time. Wait, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's Greg Warren, everybody.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. Excited to be part of this.
Where are you joining us from?
St. Louis.
Okay. I had a suspicion. So you're about 2 hours ahead of California time. Everybody else you're competing against. I hope that doesn't affect the game at all.
Well, I feel there should be some sort of handicap. I've been awake 2 hours longer, a little slower. Day's winding down right here.
You're closer to nap time than everybody
else.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
But also, he knows the future. There's 2 hours of world happenings that we don't know about.
A lot's coming your way, Alex.
That's really a good point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now I'm telling you, none of it's good.
Do you have the new Indiana Jones already?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We saw that last week. We got Indiana Jones.
That's way ahead. So what's your review?
I didn't see it.
Greg.
I wish I could
really
kept...
was excited for 10
I know. I wish I could have kept that up for a while, man.
But you don't even know at this point what, what pretend opinion to have. Cause the movie could really, even though some reviews are out that are somewhat encouraging, I still feel like I'm going to either, just love the nostalgia of it, or I'm just going to be annoyed by the whole thing.
I was surprised this one actually takes place in Indiana. I thought that was a bold choice to finally put that together.
Right.
Greg's in the movie.
Yeah. They're like, let's put it in Indiana where it belongs and bring in Fleabag to be his sidekick. And, the British lady.
Amy, did you just lump Indiana and Missouri together? That's very...
The same to me.
Yeah. elitist.
I look away from the window when we're flying over.
It was such a solid reference that I just let that go. But, you don't hear about it as much, St. Louis, Indiana, but it's a great little town. And it deserves a shout out as much as any other place.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Yeah, we appreciate it.
And congrats on being alive, as long as we're telling everybody that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks for that, man. Yeah, the same to you guys. Yeah.
Kind of a fun sentiment that you don't hear from people in general. You only hear it from, Scrooge on Christmas Day.
Why does Alex get all the credit? I was staying alive the whole time he was.
I've heard that sentiment so many times over the past 12 months.
You went through some stuff too, Amy, but I think it was an easier 12 months overall.
So easy.
I feel like I'm not living talking to you guys.
Oh, really?
Well, I feel like I'm coasting. It seems like you guys have been flirting with death, and I'm.
Life is just more chill in Indiana.
Indiana, you're in Indiana. It's slow, guys. It's a nice pace.
Yeah, but it picks up around corn season.
A little kernel of wisdom from Doug.
I'm thinking of Kansas. all right. Well, before we play our games today, our very silly games, we're going to visit a recommendation for some serious movie talk. This is where I ask each of you to recommend one movie from a specific category that I will share with you now. Suggested by Miss Krita, C-R-I-T-T-A, Miss M-I-S-S Krita, on Twitter. The suggestion is disaster movies. So I'm opening it up to...
Oh, man.
I think she specifically means movies about disasters, natural or otherwise, but I'd like to open it up to movies that are disasters as well. Just whatever you define, however you define disaster movie, because we're looking for ones that you recommend. I'm guessing either because it's so bad it's good, or because it's just there happens to be a disaster movie that is just good. I don't know for sure if there is such a thing, but we'll start. Here's the alphabetical thing biting you in the ass, Alex. You have to go first.
That's okay. I'm ready for this one because I love disaster movies, and I'm going to throw one out there that probably is kind. It's not really disaster, but I love it so much. Waterworld.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Well,
because that is like post-disaster apocalyptic mm-hmm. kind of film. But I mean, I think the film is brilliant. I think it's underrated. There's an amazing Jack Black cameo. Dennis Hopper is hilarious in it. I personally think if you think that movie sucks, go back and watch it and then write me as to why you didn't like it, because I support that movie 100%.
Apparently. Yeah, if you're a big Waterworld guy, I think anybody who stumbles onto it without any preconceived ideas would probably enjoy it, because it's the action is well staged. It was obviously very difficult to make because of the insane idea of shooting out on the water.
There was also a hurricane that happened, and it cost them $40 million in disasters to the set itself. So yeah. Destruction. It was a challenge to make that movie.
Yeah, it was really, they really had to, live a post-apocalyptic situation where they had to rebuild and they did it out there in the goddamn water. And, you know, people make so much of how Kevin Costner drinks his own pee in that movie. And it's just like, try it before you knock it is what I'm
buy
saying.
It.
And you can't be your own pee. It has to be his pee. Because I bet you he had a diet that he knew what he was doing. I bet you he was making himself a delightful mix.
That's what he was delivering in the postman. He was delivering his own urine to all of these people.
You know, he's just trying to help everybody survive, whether on land or on water. You know, he knows how important it is to stay hydrated.
It's so easy to feel like you need to pee when you're watching Waterworld.
Yeah. Waterworld's just fun because, you know, something that didn't has improved over time, I think, is that the bad guys are called smokers, and they're really into, you know, setting things on fire and you know, smoking in general. So so that's a good, you know, the idea of smoking cigarettes gets more and more evil over time. And then the support this movie gets on a daily basis in Universal City, California, with the live action Waterworld stunt show, which I've said this before and I'll say it now, is probably one of the best amusement park shows ever.
Agreed.
It's awesome.
It's so good. It's ridiculous.
Man, I gotta get out there for that, guys.
But I don't know who's going to see it. Like, I was just at the park with children, and there was no convincing them. They were like, "What's water?" Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's not.
They're like,
IP
"We
want
to go to Nintendo
about.
World."
Yeah, we gotta go check out the Secret Lives of Pets, which is cute, but it's boring, and the line is too long. Waterworld, you just walk in, you sit down. If you don't sit down, you know, if you know where, you know, if you don't sit in the splash zone, they pretty much leave you alone, and then you just watch. Just so much water action and stunts and fighting. And
is it all just people over 40 watching this show alone?
Oh, I think the whole family's coming. I think the thing about Universal is there's like four shows in the entire property. Mm-hmm. So if you're into that kind of thing, and people seem to be, I think Waterworld's got good word of mouth, but you're right. There's gotta be like somebody in the group. You know, it's got to be a dad in the group that makes the call.
They have that little girl.
Come on, everybody. We're going to see Waterworld.
Isn't the little girl with the map on her back or her head or something? Is she part of the show?
No.
Talking about Dora the Explorer.
Rip off.
There's no.
Her name's Enola in the movie.
Enola. Yeah.
There's Enola. No Dora the Explorer. There's no child character in the stunt show. There's just the woman. Played by Gene Triplehorn in the movie, and then the Mariner, which is Kevin Costner, and then some guy doing they always just hire a bald stuntman to wear an eye patch and pretend to be Dennis Hopper.
But I think because of child labor laws, they can't have a kid in the show.
They could have the grown actress with the map on her back. What's she doing?
But he gets to do riffs. You know, he gets to, as Dennis Hopper, he gets to say, you know, silly things that are like, you know, semi-topical. So
yeah, the opening line is he swings a golf club and he goes, "Look, I'm Tiger Woods." That's the first line of that live show.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that's in there. But, you know, in context, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think Tiger Woods was still in his prime when Waterworld came out and still innocent.
That might have been a lift from the motion picture.
Yeah.
They might have just did that directly. Amy, that's a tough one to beat. I mean, you know, it was considered a disaster because of how much money it cost to make Waterworld. Mm-hmm. But what's your recommended disaster movie?
Not too long ago, I watched Daylight for the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know how I had missed it.
That just sounded like somebody admitting that they sleep all day. The other day, I saw Daylight for the first time.
Listen, I've been depressed. the first sign was that I was watching the movie Daylight.
All right. I think we should head toward the daylight.
We're in the tunnel still.
So this is Sylvester Stallone. And they're in the subway during an earthquake.
Mm-hmm. The Holland Tunnel.
What city?
It's
the great city of San Francisco. There's a tunnel on Holland Street.
I think it's Vigo's in it and
Viggo
Amy
Mortensen?
Brenneman. Yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're just trying to get out of the tunnel. There's a dog involved. I won't spoil that. What happens there?
Amy Brenneman's she's no damsel in distress though. Like, she knows more about what's going on than anybody else, right? She's like a structural engineer or something.
They won't listen to her, of course.
Yeah, of course. She's so stupid.
They want to follow the guy with the big muscles.
It's hilarious.
Women don't build tunnels.
It's hilarious when global warming, you know, it destroys all of us, but, you know, somehow film manages to be preserved. People are going to see so many movies where we warned ourselves. There's like so many movies where the bad guy is just, you know, trying to cut corners, you know, trying to get more rich and, you know, or being real greedy, and then ends up getting themselves and everyone else killed. But they get to die first, and that's my favorite trope of disaster movies, is when the guy that caused the disaster has a gnarly death, you know, 2/3 of the way into the movie. Sometimes he'll live till the end. How long does no one's at blame with Daylight, though, right? It's just sort of more like the earthquake really was intense.
Yeah, pretty much. People are at fault throughout the process of trying to get out. Just, you know... Who's
right.
the leader?
Bad
What's
decision.
The best
Who's
way?
The leader? Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, it's just kind of a natural. It's a failure of infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, this is another thing that's quite apocalyptic. I like the old fashioned disaster movies where, like, you know, only one city or structure was screwed. These are a little more far-reaching, because I'd imagine that earthquake did more other damage other than just that one subway that Sylvester Stallone happens to be in.
You would think so, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that recommendation, Amy. Greg, have you thought of a recommendable disaster?
I was going to go with The Postman, but that seems sort of anticlimactic. At this point, so
at what point did you think of The Postman? When
I swear to God, I thought
Alex brought it up.
No, I swear to God, before he said the water movie, I swear to you. But
that's the first one you thought of, because I think that's the thing, is it's hard to disassociate, it's hard to take the word disaster away from a flop rather than a movie about like the Hindenburg or whatever.
Yeah, and I always thought The Postman was a great movie. I mean, I've always loved the movie, but. I did some quick thinking over the pandemic. I watched this film, Deepwater Horizon. It was about a BP oil rig that blew up in the Gulf of Mexico near Louisiana and killed a lot of people. And I don't remember a lot of specifics, but I liked it. I can tell
sounds
you that.
Hilarious.
It's not that
first
funny.
Of all, that's
at
true.
First, it's funny. Not funny.
First of all, it's a hilarious comedy. It's a satire about the mistakes that were made. It's kind of a reimagining of what happened because hundreds of people died. But in the movie, Mark Wahlberg keeps that number low, like two or three.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
And
about
it's comical
death.
There which he would have done at 9/11 if he had been in a plane himself.
That's what I was trying to refer to, is that if he'd have been there, if he'd actually been at Deepwater Horizon, then it probably wouldn't even have happened.
If he had been in that submarine last week, I mean, it would have been a wholly different story.
I don't know why doesn't he just stop climate change yet. James Cameron and Mark Wahlberg should have just went down there, the two of them together, and then came back and went, see, it's that simple. You just got to know what you're doing. I mean, James Cameron's already been down to the Titanic a bunch of times. So, like, it's the whole story is kind of weird that they had such a... But again, back to what we're talking about with disaster movies, the being warned, this isn't going to work, and then they go ahead and do it anyway. So
there was some of that, I think, with Deepwater Horizon. There was some...
Yeah.
They ignored some warning.
Yeah, like somebody brought in like a painting his kid made at school, and he like put it up over an important valve so no one noticed that it was malfunctioning. Something happened.
Is that how these things get hidden? I didn't. Yeah. It's genius.
You never know. It's craziest things happen. When people they don't follow the right protocol. What's it called again? Deepwater Horizon.
Deepwater Horizon.
Just sounds like a horrible real estate deal.
fact, it was. Yeah.
A horrible land development, like
some sort of waxing studio. they get everything.
Oh my God. Now I'm thinking of lots of names for waxing salons. that are also films. One could argue Waterworld and Daylight would both apply. So Deepwater Horizon. Okay. I saw it. I think it's a competent action movie that isn't critical enough of what went wrong there. But yeah, it's it's well made. Isn't Kurt Russell in there too?
Kurt Russell. I think Malkovich is one of the BP execs.
He's the one that's like makes the like he rolls his eyes when they don't do what he says, and then and then somebody dies in the next scene. Like he's always like
exhausted. He's knowing.
He's knowing. He's knowledgeable Johnny Malkovich. And these are great recommendations. What did I think when I asked for disaster movies? I was gonna get, Schindler's List and Citizen Kane. All right, so
Schindler's List is the ultimate disaster film,
right? That's like the disaster is a little too large in scale, probably, with that one. Who's looking forward?
Not if you
to
ask Roseanne.
Oh no! You know what? It's funny. I don't get the opportunity to ask Roseanne anything, really.
That's too bad.
Because I have questions.
She's got answers,
Doug. I'd like some. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So maybe I should keep them rhetorical. There's no need to. Her answers get so much attention. If you just didn't ask the question in the first place, it might not have gotten so much play. But we have to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. During the break, we were talking some more about Roseanne, and I agree with everything you said, Amy. So let's play a game. This first game
it was a good show.
This first game we're going to play is a little something I call "How Long Is It?" And that's a game where I'll name a thing and you guess how long it is.
Not long enough.
Not that kind of guess. You got to be really specific. It's got to be closest without going over. It can't be like a philosophical answer. It has to be one that involves actual numbers. And it's, you know, closest without going over. And it's Price is Right style. And Alex, you're going to get to go first, then Amy, and then Greg. And I'll tell you what the thing is. And then, Alex, you go first. You guess how long it is. And, you know, a lot of players like to discuss their answer, why they're picking what they're picking. But, you know, be careful because, you know, that also the other players can hear you. We couldn't afford soundproof booths for this part, so everybody hears everybody. But that is kind of a cool idea, soundproof booths. Are you ready, Alex?
Go for it.
How long was Tom Hanks in the makeup chair during the older Colonel Tom Parker, part of his filming of Elvis? In minutes.
He had makeup on?
A lot of people said he put the weight on, you know, he did the method, put the weight on, you know, like but no, he that was makeup.
I will say 162 minutes.
100. I always have this problem when I'm trying to figure out if, you know, how long a movie is when they're like it's 152 minutes. My mind doesn't know how long that is. I guess that's 2 hours and 32 minutes. So how many did you say again?
I said 162.
Okay. So that's 2 hours and 42 minutes.
242, correct.
I see. Okay. 162 minutes in the makeup chair each day getting ready to be older. Cause they really did do phases as he aged, he got, you know, bigger and jowlier. Didn't win the Oscar for best makeup because turns out another makeup team is making another actor even bigger.
Right.
That's what you do to win that award, apparently. Amy.
Doug.
How long was he in that makeup chair?
I'm going to say 4.5 hours. And that's 200 and no, I don't know how many minutes that is.
I think it's 270.
I like it. I like someone out there doing the mathematics. Hit me with that number. If this was a real game show, you know, there'd be somebody on the side just holding it up on a card. 270 minutes. Okay, Greg.
This is a real game show, Doug.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you feel that way.
I'll go 431.
Oh. Ooh.
Wow.
Greg.
Wow.
So that's, what's that? 271?
Oh man. I don't. Yeah, 271. Yeah, it checks out.
271. All right. So
wait a minute. Now that you said it in minutes, it sounds high.
Oh, you thought Amy was high? You're trying to dollar. You're doing the thing where you just add a dollar, right?
Yeah, but
you got to pick the right amount to add the dollar to.
I'll stick with my answer.
You're going 271?
Yeah.
Okay. So Alex says 162, which seems like, you know, that's a long time to be sitting there getting that stuff put on to eventually not even win an Oscar. And then, if only he had a crystal ball. He went to Australia, got COVID, came back here, didn't win an Oscar. It was a whole mess.
Yeah, he threw a tantrum when he didn't win that Oscar. He was like, 271 in the chair, 271 in the chair, and I got nothing.
Just like his niece on that TV show.
I love how in your scenario he's saying your answer is how long he spent in the chair.
Well, no, I'm sure of this answer. That's
like
I'm
you're
just
making it happen.
I have a lot of conviction about my answer.
Okay, so Alex at 162, Amy's at 270 minutes, and then Greg pulled the classic dollaring with 241, and the correct answer is 300 minutes. Greg, you did it.
Greg.
Oh my gosh, that is brutal.
Yeah, 5 hours of just, and they say he would sit very still and he wouldn't, you know, talk or move around. So that's some real.
I mean, smooth, Alex, I'm
real
not
zen
trying to
sit there.
I don't want to take a shot at you, Alex, but why would it be a trivia question if it was an hour and change? Like,
yeah,
you said?
Alex, I mean, yeah, what are you on. Doing?
Well,
yeah.
Well, I said 162.
Use your head.
So that's like 2.5 hours. That's not, you know, I mean, God, the makeup.
I was trying to hedge your answer and make it sound dumber, but
that means Brendan Fraser was in the chair for like 7 hours.
I thought Brendan Fraser went method. I didn't even realize he was wearing makeup in that movie.
Fraser 6 minutes. It was
I mean,
hey guys, I've been wearing a lot of makeup the last couple of years too.
Yeah, that's 5 hours is that's some real, like, that's amazing.
Wait, I remember hearing that, like, Kelsey Grammer, when he played the Beast, I feel like that was like 6 hours or something like that. So
yeah, because they'd have to put all that fur on him.
Right. So I'm saying it took almost just as long to make Tom Hanks look old. Jesus.
It's hard to make Kelsey Grammer look more handsome.
It's not just Tom Hanks isn't just old. He's just got, like, you know, jowls and, like, it's just like he's monstrous. You know, he's like, looks like a Disney cartoon villain, but the movie is, you know, live action and everybody else looks normal. He looks like, you know, he's got like Jiminy Glick style makeup on.
Yeah, they had to put on a bunch of like weird moles. half that time is just moles.
They had to make him uglier, I guess, because in this movie they really lean into what a villain he was, and now he like controlled Elvis's life. So he's just like, he's just so grotesque. It's just, it's bizarre. And somebody pointed out in an article in some fancy, you know, journal somewhere that Tom Hanks only, when he plays like somebody who's like a bad guy, he's like in makeup and doing a weird accent or something. Like, he's never like, just looks like regular Tom Hanks and then is a evil character.
Well, because we wouldn't be able to handle it in our hearts.
I don't think America. So. I don't think so. But then I thought of that movie that he was in with Emma Watson that was like about cults or something. I never saw it. It was like The Circle or something like that. And I think he's a bad guy in that, but I guess he's just more like probably more smarmy than evil, but I don't know.
I mean, I thought Forrest Gump was a dick.
Such an asshole, eating all the candy himself.
That's what I'm saying, though. He had an accent. He had an accent in that because he's a villain.
I just felt like in Elvis, he was doing Goldmember, kind of.
It was. He really kept waiting for him to yell at people to get in his belly. It was just weird. It was just a really weird choice. I didn't get it, other than, you know, I guess it's a fun acting challenge for him. But I think he should make a David S. Pumpkins movie before he does another.
Yeah, you know, if you can just win for being in a fat suit, then we need to get Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy some more Oscars quick.
Tom Hanks needs to stop playing people that actually exist. I've had enough, you know, or people that did exist. Like, people, we know what they look like. We know what they sound like. It's not Tom Hanks. But then, so he does a good acting job of approximating it. But it's this person that's as famous or more famous than the person they're playing. You know, I drew the line at Sully Sullenberger. It's just like, no, that's Tom Hanks with the Sully Sullenberger costume on. Do that on Halloween. Get it out of your system. I don't need you to play the part for the whole movie. There's somebody like Philip Baker Hall that already looks exactly like the guy. He could just show up and do it.
Well, not now.
Not well, a good point. But, you know, I dated this thing back to when they were making that film. Hey, Greg, you did it. You won the first game, so congratulations on that.
And I'll thanks, Doug.
I'll tell you exactly what it was you won after this commercial break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and Greg was bothering me during the whole break. What did I win? What did I win? What did I win? Well, Greg, let me tell you now. I finally can tell you, and thanks to everybody for sitting through those ads.
Thank God.
It means you get to go first in our next game.
Oh, yeah. Your face, Miller.
But turns out that's generally not much of an advantage at all in these games. In fact, it could be a disadvantage.
Well, then what did I win for? What I'm like, Hanks, why did I sit in the chair for 5 hours when I didn't get the
love of the art, Greg?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, and if there's a tie, you get to go first. In the tiebreaker. So that's an exciting thing that you have in your back pocket. If you need it. Hopefully we won't get there. Hopefully somebody is going to really know this subject of this game and they're going to knock it out of the park. Let me just take a quick drink of water. Now let me get my own head hair out of my mouth. And here we go. The fifth, and if we can hold back the progress of AI, final Indiana Jones movie is out now. In honor of that, let's play Indy or Mindy. I'll say a fact, fun or otherwise, and you tell me if it applies to Harrison Ford or Pam Dauber, who, of course, played Mindy McConnell from 1978 to 1982 on Mork and Mindy, or neither. So the answer is either Indy, Mindy, or neither. First person gets a fact. You answer one of those three answers. If you miss, then it goes to the next person. And if they miss from the two options that are left, then the third person gets a gimme point. Each round starts with the next person after whoever managed to secure a point. Greg, you're up first. Then we'll go to Amy, and then we'll go to Alex. Does all of this make sense to you, Greg?
I got it, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds confident.
All right.
I know the rules, guys. I listened.
Okay. That's all that matters to me. You know, I never want the new person to be, left behind. Because
Doug, I'm right with you on this game, man. I know. Yeah. It's, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Craig, here's the fact. This person is a Pisces. Is it Pam Dauber, a.k.a. Mindy? Harrison Ford.
Yes, it's Pam Dauber.
Indy.
It's Pam Dauber.
Neither. Those are your choices. Which one?
Mindy. Pam Dauber.
You're sticking with Mindy. I gave you a chance there to switch it up, but you're sticking with Mindy. That she's a Pisces. That annoys me.
No.
Incorrect.
Are you sure that's
sure
what that,
of it?
Are you sure that's what that noise means?
I know it does also sound kind of fun and like kind of yeah, like a celebration yeah, a little yeah, bit. Yeah.
Nobody's sure what that noise means.
Yeah, I've done a lot of morning radio, and a lot of times that noise means things are going well.
Wow. Wait till you hear. Wait till you hear the noise when someone gets it right. Then you'll go, okay, now I get why.
I hope it's a slide whistle.
The one noise is kind of it's sort of like participation trophy. Like you got the answer wrong, but you get like a fun upbeat noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that means we move on to Amy. Do you remember which one he said, Amy?
Yes, I do.
Who do you think said Pisces?
Wait, are we saying Indiana Jones or Harrison Ford?
Either way, I think we'll all piece it together.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say neither.
Now, how do I say it? Do I say Harrison, Indiana? Neither. that, in fact, is the correct
yes.
answer.
Yay! That was so zany.
The correct answer noise.
Whoa.
Now, I hope everyone understands the difference. yeah, it turns out neither of them are Pisces. Pam Dauber's, she was born in the month of October, and Harry Ford is he's a Cancer. He's a July baby.
Baby. Happy birthday, Harry.
Yeah.
Ooh, me too, Harry. Come on out. Let's have a party together.
I mean, I'm so entertained when people think Harrison Ford or anyone of his ilk is listening to this podcast. It could happen.
Sure.
You got to do something while you're flying a plane.
At the party, you can congratulate him on being alive, Alex.
All us cancers.
You got double cancer moon and cancer body.
I had stage 3 Harrison lymphoma.
Oh, no. Okay.
You had to go see Dr. Jones to get it fixed.
You can't.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's so good.
I'm sure that Alex told Dr. Jones to hang on to his potatoes. Alex, you're up first on this next one. Amy's on the board. Greg, you'll still get your chance. You just wait. But Alex gets to go first.
Here we go.
Grew up, raised in Cleveland.
Ooh,
Pammy Dobbs, Harry Ford, or neither?
I'm going to say Pammy Dobbs on that one.
You're going Pam Dauber grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, not Cleveland, Missouri, just to be clear.
Yeah, Ohio, the one, yeah, that one.
Who do you say is Pam Dauber?
I said Pam Dauber. Yep. Mindy.
Mindy or Indy? You say Mindy. Incorrect.
Oh!
Wow. See, Greg, it's back around to you. Do you think it was Harry or Harrison Ford or neither that grew up in Cleveland?
I'm going to say Harrison Ford. Indiana Jones.
Feels like he would have done that, right?
Yeah.
Seems like he could be from there. He's from Chicago.
Oh, man, this is such a shakedown.
Pam Dauber, Detroit. Harry, Chicago. Congratulations, Amy.
I like it so much. These facts could have been about anybody so far.
Well, you know, that's the thing is you have to, it's like you use deductive reasoning, but like the twist is there's absolutely nothing to cling on to as far as clues in some cases, you know, but you might have had an inkling of where one of them was from just from, you know, maybe reading about them or something, you know, or just having seen them in a recent interview. But Amy is on top with two
points. Will say this. My wife is from Cleveland, and we do call it the Temple of Doom. So
there you go. There you have it.
I like to picture Alex just sitting at home reading about Pam Dauber. Doing some reading, honey. No, she's not from Cleveland, if you're wondering. You are.
That's the only reason I read any book is to tell my wife who's from Cleveland.
Who's from Cleveland? Tell her about Deborah Winger.
Oh, she is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. There's some good ones. I'm sure there's some good ones. I can't think of any immediately, but other than, you know, Drew Carey, of course.
Yeah. Steve Harvey.
There you go. Those are two great. Those are two of the greatest game show hosts of all time. Okay, Alex, we got to play this game.
Yep.
And it's all on you right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, you got this. Just, you know, just keep in mind, you know, one of them's an actress that worked with Robin Williams in television. The other one is Harrison Ford. You know what I mean? Take what you know about those two people and apply it and hope you can figure out the answer. Here's the fun fact. Once played a character named Stinkbug. Is it Pam Dauber, Harrison Ford, or neither? Indy, Mindy, or neither?
I'm going to double down on Pam Dauber because if it's neither again, this has been the most pointless game I have ever played in my life.
Right? It would be ridiculous.
Have you met Doug before?
If it was neither, just neither again would be like some sort of dumb mind game. It's like, you know, what's going on? We came here for some serious movie trivia.
Yeah, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. So you say Pam Dauber?
Yeah, I'm going to say Pam Dauber. Ah, man.
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
What do you make of this? Does this make any sense to you? What do you think? If neither of them ever played a character named Stinkbug or is the great Harrison Ford?
I'm going to have to say neither.
You're going with neither.
Yeah, I'd feel like a fool. Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous, like when would he, what, you know, was he a child actor?
I can already tell by the way he's talking that I'm wrong.
What do you mean? I'm just trying to explain.
You're right? Selling the left, yeah, so you can hit me with the right.
You're correct. No! It is neither. Yay! Neither one of them, to the best of my knowledge.
Yes.
It could have been a school play or something, but to the best of my knowledge, no stink bugs. No stink bugs necessary. Greg, you're on the board. Alex.
I know nothing about Pam Dauber, so that's going to be my answer every time, just because I figure she has to be an answer somewhere.
One of those right. 80s family sitcoms had to have a best friend named Stinkbug, right?
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know about Stinkbug. I don't know. I just sort of, it's just something that came to me. But there may have been at some point in the history of all things, but we're going back to Greg got the point on that one, right?
I did.
Yes.
All right. So, Amy, you go first on this one.
You're twisted.
What? It's just how it works.
Okay.
Whenever you get the point, Alex gets to go first on the next one. All right. So if you get a point right now, Alex is first on the next one. Appeared in a TV movie called Have You Paid the Piper?
Neither.
You think neither of them have been in a motion picture made for television called Have You Paid the Piper?
I don't think anybody's ever been in that
movie. I can't believe you never saw Have You Paid the Piper, Amy?
I think it only aired in St. Louis? What?
Yeah. I mean, it debuted here, strong numbers here, but that it didn't air only here. We supported the film. We enjoyed it. Said a lot
local
about our
support
community.
Is
yeah,
important.
Yeah, it was about our... It's got a Midwestern flair, but a lot of other people on both coasts enjoyed that film. Internationally, it did well.
Yeah, the China markets really loved. What was it? I don't even remember what it was called anymore. Time
it's
to
called,
pay the
have
piper.
You paid the,
have you paid? Have you paid the piper?
And Amy is right. The answer is neither.
Starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. Everybody knows that.
I'm about to go smoke the Piper right now.
Piper
game.
Paraboo, I think, was, I thought she, yeah.
Pam Dauber was in a TV movie called Do You Know the Muffin Man? I was hoping it would sound vaguely familiar to somebody, like, oh, I think I've heard of that. All right, so who got that one? Amy again? Oh, my God.
Amy again.
All right, Alex, this is your chance to get in the game, Alex. You need this one. This one's important. First film appearance was in a movie called Ferris Wheel on Fire.
Neither.
Disaster
movie. Yeah, neither. I'm just saying it. Neither.
You're just saying it. You just
I want to go with a trend here and say neither.
You're like, it's always neither. So that would be so fucked up if either of them was in a movie called Ferris Wheel on Fire.
Oh my God. I can already feel it. The spring is about to bounce.
You got on the board,
yes!
Alex. You got it right.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy, the director.
Harrison was, on the other hand, in real life, he was in a movie called Dead Heat on a Merry-Go-Round. The real thing.
Sounds like Steve Miller lyric.
So Alex really thinks he's got this figured out, Greg, but you're up first on this next one. You need this point to have a chance to take out Amy Miller.
On a date.
Dinner and the movie. You cheapskate.
I gotta get this right.
Yeah. Appeared in an episode of the episodic weekly television program called The Rifleman.
Harrison Ford.
You think Harrison Ford? Young actor Harrison Ford possibly appeared on The Rifleman.
Yeah, that I don't know much about that show except for there's gun sounds at the beginning. The Rifleman. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you need to learn a little bit more.
No. No. No.
Incorrect. Sorry, Amy.
He's not sorry. Neither.
You're going neither?
I'll go neither. You say neither.
okay, tomato. wait, which one? You said neither or neither. Both count, of course. And you did, Amy. You ran away with this thing. Congratulations, Amy Miller, everybody.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh,
she absolutely killed it. We're gonna get into, if this game had kept going, we would have gotten into some like more personal stuff, you know, which one has had more pets that have died, questions like that. But you know, we're just not gonna get that deep this week because, like I said, Amy ran away with it. But Here's my favorite one, just to, you know, throw it out at you since we have a second here, a couple seconds. What do you think about this one? Rescued a teenager from a burning car.
Neither.
No, Dauber. Dauber did that. Definitely Dauber.
Yeah, why do you think Dauber did that?
She's athletic. She's got a fresh face. and I, there's just
JFL fresh face.
Yeah, she's got a fresh face.
She's got a flame retardant.
She's got a good heart. You could tell she's heroic.
Right.
Yeah. I think she. Well,
I think it was because it was in conjunction with her then and still husband, Mark Harmon, the actor. The two of them pulled somebody out of a burning car, a teenager, in 1996.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll give them a little toot. So... I wonder what that teenager is up to today. Would love to have you guys as a guest on the show if you're listening. Congratulations, Amy Miller. Once again, you get to go first. You get to do your plugs first. What would you like to promote?
Thank you so much. I'm really excited and honored. I have a bunch of shows coming up all over the place. Austin, Vermont, Milwaukee. Go to my website, amymillercomedy.com, and follow me on Instagram at amymillercomedy. That's it.
I wish that list had gone on forever. That would have been hilarious. But those three are a good start.
And, yeah, it's pretty solid, yeah, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and as champion today, I'm telling you that we'll have you back on the program at your earliest convenience. And
you know, I hope Pam Dauber is the other guest.
We've been trying to get her. I thought maybe if I made a game that involved her, and I'm like, oh, Mindy, what rhymes with Mindy? And then I saw an ad for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. You know, so the dial, do they mean like, is it going to be a rotary phone?
No, it's going to take forever.
That's his destiny, is just dialing the goddamn number. he's gonna die while dialing the number.
You forgot the one.
Greg Warren, great job today. What would you like to plug?
Thanks, Doug. I felt good about that burning car thing. I feel like I kind of made up for some of
yeah, that salvaged your performance here today.
Thanks. I have a new I have a new comedy special out called The Salesman. It's on YouTube. It's on Nate Bargatze's YouTube channel.
But you get to swear though. You can swear.
No, I don't swear.
You don't mess around with that either.
I don't mess around with that.
You and Bargatze started some sort of no swearing cult.
Well, I wouldn't say so much as that. I mean, if you're interested, I can send you some literature about our organization, and it's sort of a multi-level thing.
A lot of the words are bleeped out, but you'll get
if you find. Idea. Three of your friends that don't want to swear, and then they get three of their friends that don't swear. It all adds up.
I'll call Seinfeld and Gaff again when this is over.
Those the people handing out religious pamphlets, as they hand it to the person, they should say to them, "Do you like clean jokes?" Because nobody gets more excited than when they hear those words. but yeah, that's you know, the best comedians can work clean, and so good on you for that, and thank you for being on this dirty show. And Nate Bargatze won't do the show because he doesn't feel like he's good at movie trivia.
He may do it. He may be on after my performance today.
Right, that might encourage him a little bit.
Yeah. That's why I was kind of taking a dive just so you could get Nate. I knew all that stuff.
Thank you.
I knew all of that stuff.
Thank you. You
think I don't know Dauber?
Yeah. There'll be a little something extra in your Christmas bonus for doing that. Who else is left out there? Who hasn't done their plugs yet?
Just me, and I better do them because my membership in the Harrison Ford fan club has been revoked. I just got an email. So
what?
I know. They said
Why
I didn't know enough about
him. Why are you checking
your
email during the show?
It just popped up. I forgot to turn off notifications.
Well, I mean, I guess it ended up being pretty timely, and I'm sorry to hear that, but maybe we can get some people to come out and see you live. Where can people come see you?
Yeah, I have a ton of tour dates coming up. Go to hoopercomedy.com. I'm hitting like 20 different cities between August and September. I have a new Comedy Central set dropping August 9th. So check that out as well. And see me at Oxnard Levity with Doug and Amy and not Greg. He's not invited.
No, he's stuck in,
over here in Indiana, right, Amy?
He's in Indiana.
Yeah, where the arch is.
Trying to figure it all out. I'm doing stand-up Saturday, July 8th at Hereafter at the Croc in Seattle. Doug Loves Movies is at the WDVE Comedy Festival in Pittsburgh, July 15th at 4:20 at Bottle Rocket Social Hall. San Diego, I'll be at the American Cuck Comedy, Cuck Company on July 19th kicking off Comic-Con weekend in San Diego, as I do every year, and back at Dynasty Typewriter that weekend in Los Angeles on July 23rd. Thank you again to Amy Miller and Greg Warren and Alex Hooper. Great job, everybody.
Thanks for having us, Doug.
Thanks Doug.
As always, the horror, the horror.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.